perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am indeed Bill Snyder, and it is a great pleasure to have you joining us today, no matter how you're listening, whether that's a Breadbox Media, Evangelism Radio, or right here on Patchwork Heart Radio. It's great that you are with us. Today, my guest is Tim Staples. He is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization at Catholic Answers, but Tim was not always a Catholic. He was raised as a Southern Baptist, and he fell away from his faith of his childhood. Tim came back to the faith years later in Christ during his late teen years through the witness of Christian tele-evangelists. Soon after, Tim joined the Marine Corps. During his four-year tour, he became involved with ministry in the various Assemblies of God communities. Immediately after his tour of duty, Tim enrolled in the Jimmy Swaggart Bible College and became a youth minister in the Assembly of God community. During his final year in the Marines, however, Tim met a Marine who really knew his faith and challenged him to study Catholicism from the Catholic and historical sources. That encounter sparked a two-year search for the truth, and Tim was determined to prove Catholicism wrong. But he ended up studying his way to the last place he thought he would ever be, the Catholic Church. So, Tim, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond.
It is great to be with you, my friend.
So, Tim, today's program, I'm going to ask you about your, conversion and your journey to the Catholic faith first, because part of my audience is Protestant. So, just give us a little bit of an overview.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned in the bio there, I was raised a Southern Baptist, later became a minister in an Assembly of God community, and I can just put it to you this way, bluntly, frankly, that I thought from the time I was 8, 9, 10 years old that you had to be brain dead to be Catholic. How could anybody with a brain that works be Catholic? When I saw, as my pastor taught me all those years ago, plain verses of Scripture like Matthew 23:9, right? Call no man on this earth father. You have one Father which is in heaven, and yet what do these crazy Catholics call their priests but Father? You know, that and so many more examples I could toss out of superficial reading of Scripture, to be sure, but still, these were Scriptures that in my mind just eliminated Catholicism from even consideration. And so, you know, as a young child, I was born again, as we didn't have our theology exactly right there either, but I committed my life to Christ when I was 10, wanted to be a preacher. From the time I was 8, 9, 10 years old, Billy Graham was my hero, my pastor, Eugene Foreman. Unfortunately, I got away from my faith in my teen years, but I came back when I was 18 through some wonderful brothers and sisters in the Assemblies of God, and there my faith took off. A little different turn there with Pentecostal theology versus my strictly evangelical upbringing, but I was on fire for Jesus. Decided to join the Marine Corps, as you mentioned, and there I met Sergeant Matt Dula. And really, Sergeant Dula was the first Catholic I'd ever met that was ready, willing, and able to defend his Catholic faith. And he gave me biblical, reasoned, and historical arguments that got me started. Plus, I'll tell you something else he did that was a real blessing. He gave me a stack of books over a year. As there were times, you know, we would go at it, and I would hit him with so many verses of Scripture. Sometimes he didn't have the answer, so he would go back to his spiritual director, Father Ron Gillis, who was an Opus Dei priest at the Tinley Study Center in Washington, D.C., who would later become my first spiritual director. But Father Ron would give him books to give me, and I was just crazy enough to read them. And I did, as you mentioned, trying to disprove the Catholic faith. And so I basically read my way into the last place I ever thought I would end up, the Catholic Church. And I will tell you this, if you'd have told me, you know, let's say 32 years ago that, excuse me, that one day I would be traveling the world defending the Catholic faith, I would have probably tried to cast a demon out of you. I would have thought you were crazy. But yet here I am, thanks to a wonderful Catholic man. And I would find out later, not only did he know his faith, but he also prayed for me every day, daily mass, daily rosary. I was a goner. I just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, I guess behind the scenes, they get all those witnesses, all those saints in heaven praying for you, and something just happens,
Amen.
Right? So talk to us a little bit about the Catholic Church for somebody who, as you kind of highlighted, it's foreign, right? It's foreign to somebody who doesn't grow up Catholic. What are the benefits of being Catholic? I'm a cradle Catholic, so I don't have that perspective.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I mean, just we can talk sacraments, which are the ordinary means of our sanctification, salvation, which are the greatest gifts God's given to us, of course, the source and summit being the Eucharist, which is Jesus Christ himself. So that is the greatest gift we have as Catholics. And then, of course, closely related would be the gift of the magisterium, the authority of the Church, which is absolutely crucial because, you know, as St. Cyprian said in 250 A.D. in his great work on the unity of the Catholic Church, he says the Church is one, and therefore the unity of the Church must proceed from one, and he's referring there to the Church of Rome, the Bishop of Rome, who is the not just visible sign of unity this side of the veil, but God has given him a specific gift in the gift of papal infallibility that ensures, as Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, when he promised the keys of the kingdom of Peter, that the gates of hell could not, would not ever prevail. And whatever he, that is Peter and his successors, the popes, bind on earth is bound in heaven, where they loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I would say those two of the greatest gifts we have as Catholics, along with, I would say, the Blessed Mother and the Communion of Saints, we could talk about a lot more. But the bottom line is, for me, as a young Pentecostal who was a fire-breathing anti-Catholic Pentecostal, when I encountered this young Marine who was inundated, he lived and breathed Catholic teaching, I got a taste of the symphony of theology that has come for 2,000 years from this magisterium. And I'll just give you one quick example. When I hit him, the first thing I hit him with when I found out he was Catholic was my favorite, Matthew 23:9, that I mentioned, right? Call no man on this earth father. You have one father which is in heaven. And he didn't even miss a beat. He was right back at me with scripture, and he gave me a litany of verses. He said, Tim, we as Catholics believe that just as it's written, but you've got to understand there's more than one verse in the Bible. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, where St. Paul quotes the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, right? Well, Tim, I thought you said, Jesus said, call no man on this earth father. Well, St. Paul does right here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes to Luke 16:24, where Jesus refers to Abraham as Father Abraham. Romans 4:1-18, seven times St. Paul calls Abraham Father Abraham. James 2:21, St. James calls Abraham Father Abraham. 1 John 2:13, St. John refers to the elders to whom he is writing as fathers, exhorting them to teach their spiritual sons and daughters. St. Stephen in Acts 7:1 refers to the elders of Jerusalem to whom he is speaking as fathers. And here's the ones, I mean, he went on. I was blown away at the sheer number, but here the ones that did me in. 1 Corinthians 4:14-15, St. Paul says, you have 10,000 instructors in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not many fathers. I have become your father, for I've begotten you through the gospel. There St. Paul says he's a father to the Corinthians. And finally, Ephesians 3:14, St. Paul says, for this cause I bend my knee before the Father of light, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is derived or takes its name, right? And there he explains, look, when Jesus had called no man this earth father, he did not mean you could not enunciate the term pater with regard to a human being, because if he did, then he contradicted himself. And so did St. Paul and St. James and St. John and St. Luke, right? And the Holy Spirit, we could add. What Jesus is talking about is the usurpation of the fatherhood of God, which not only religious leaders were doing in the first century, but Caesars as well, or more properly, the emperors all the way back to Augustus were referred to as the father of the empire, and they were worshipped as Father God. So Jesus, you know, we can see why you would say, call no man on this earth Father. He's talking about men usurping the fatherhood of God. But priests and fathers like me, I have seven kids. I am a father in as much as I participate in the fatherhood of God through a gift. Just as Paul was a father, priests are fathers. Why? Because as St. Paul says in Ephesians 3:14, they participate in the fatherhood of God and make it real for us on this earth. They don't usurp it. That was just one example, my friend, of how this guy blew my mind from doctrine to doctrine and helped me to see what the Catholic Church was actually teaching versus the caricature that I had been raised with.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible how you talk about this from a maybe sola scriptura and then also within the tradition of the church as a Catholic, and painting that picture for somebody who's a cradle Catholic gives us a lot of perspective. A lot of perspective. It's unbelievable, but we're at our break time, Tim. So I have to take a short break here, and then we come back. We'll continue talking with you about, being Catholic and the benefits of being Catholic. And maybe if you've never thought about it, give it a second look out there. This is Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. My guest is Tim Staples. We'll be right back after this.
Faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, she is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to Our Blessed Mother, please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
The Contemplative Stations of the Cross audio devotional is now available from Patchwork Heart Ministry. This devotional features an introduction and overview of the theology, history, and spirituality of the Stations of the Cross by Father Bill Zimmer, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with an audio version of the Contemplative Stations of the Cross led by author Bill Snyder, and the Stabat Mater, chanted in Latin by Marissa Ellison. CDs are $7.99, and digital downloads are only $3.99. Copies may be purchased by visiting patchworkheart.org or calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. Today I'm talking with Tim Staples. He is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization at Catholic Answers. And we're talking about the differences between Protestant and Catholic. Tim is more than qualified to be talking about it, as he had his own conversion and has really studied the Catholic faith and is an incredible apologist, known nationally and internationally. Tim, I want to ask you a question about, you know, somebody out there that's Protestant listening to this that might be thinking, hey, you know what? I agree with you. Catholics do, you know, love Jesus. Maybe I should explore the Catholic faith a little more. Maybe the Holy Spirit's nudging that person. What do they do? I mean, what's the next step for them?
Yeah, you know, you are, those of you that are thinking about it right now and hearing my voice are living at such a wonderful period of time. We have such a great gift in the recent popes alone. I mean, we've kind of been on a roll for the last 450 years with some of the most incredible men that ever walked the planet have happened to have been, you know, popes as well. So whether it's Pius IX, Pius X, Pius XII, John Paul, you know, St. John Paul the Great, and on, it's just been phenomenal. But a great gift we have is called the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It is phenomenal. I remember when it first came out, I was kind of, I must confess, I was a little skeptical, thinking, oh my gosh, is it going to be good or is it going to be weak? And, you know, I happen to love the Catechism of the Council of Trent that, you know, St. Charles Borromeo and Pope St. Pius V, you know, gave us 500 years ago. But this catechism, in my opinion, blows the Catechism of Trent out of the water. It is so rich, so good, so deep. And the biblical quotes, I mean, for anybody who wants to really examine what the Catholic Church teaches, you have it right there in the catechism, and check out the footnotes. The numbers of biblical texts quoted, I mean, it's every single page of the catechism is inundated with biblical texts. So that is a great gift. I recommend it to folks in the church, outside of the church. It is a great gift. And we also have the compendium of the catechism that the bishops put out, that's kind of a shorter version of it if folks want, you know, more bite-sized morsels. It's outstanding. And then, of course, we have such a wealth of information, both free and if you want books, you know, we've got them. Go to such great websites like ours at Catholic Answers at Catholic.com. We have tens of thousands of pages of free information. You can, you know, search on the site, go to our tracks where we deal with just about everything you can imagine. We've got some great books. In fact, I'm going to recommend one to my Protestant friends that are listening, that are brand new, Why We're Catholic, by one of our apologists, Trent Horn, that we just published. It's a concise, it's an easy read, but gives great reasons why we believe what we believe. Or you can go with an older book, a classic like Faith of Our Fathers by James Cardinal Gibbons, published by Tan Books. We republished it for a time as part of our classics series at Catholic Answers, but we don't have them anymore. But you can still get them from St. Benedict Press or Tan Books. You know, there's just so much information out there on the Catholic Church. I encourage you, read Catholic sources. That's the one thing I did not do in my own life as an evangelical and Pentecostal. I read books about the Catholic Church. I read Jimmy Swaggart talking about the Catholic Church, or Norman Geisler, or R.C. Sproul, or Dave Hunt, you name it, I read it. But it was when I actually read what the Catholic Church teaches about itself that changed my life. And what's crazy is whenever, you know, when I was studying Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, I would always go to the sources. You know, I would look at the Book of Mormon. I would look at the Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants. I would look at their texts. I would look at, you know, The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life put out by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. But for some reason, when it came to Catholicism, I always read the anti-Catholics version. Folks, check out what the Catholic Church says. It will change your life.
Yeah, absolutely. It will change your life when you you know, begin to internalize the faith as well, right? I mean, there's Amen. an aspect of yeah, I'm going to study this. I'm going to you know, understand the doctrines of it. But
right.
Then something else happens, right? Where there's this moment yeah. of like. There's this aha moment. That's the only yeah. way to describe it, right? The Holy Spirit takes a 2x4 and hits you over the head.
Oh my goodness! Yes, I can tell you, Bill. I remember when it happened to me when I was at Jimmy Swaggart Bible College. I had been studying every waking hour. I'm reading Catholic books. I'm reading councils. I'm reading you name it. I'm diving into it. Literally a stack of books that I poured through. Fathers of the Church as well. But I found that, you know, the intellectual arguments were becoming so overwhelming. It was just true, but in my heart, I still didn't want to be Catholic. You know, it just represented me leaving everything that I was, what I came from. My dad, who was very anti-Catholic, you know, there's nobody on the planet I respected more than my dad, who just died a couple of years ago. And by the way, a strong and devout Catholic, but my dad, my pastors that I looked up to, you know, these were the men that I respected, and they were very much anti-Catholic. And so I think there was an emotional struggle going on, and it was in prayer, really, that this had to be resolved. Intellectually, I was there. I couldn't argue against the Catholic faith any longer. But I will tell you, it was one night at Jimmy Swaggart Bible College when, for the first time in my life, I prayed to a saint. I had known for probably 2 years by that time that it was okay to pray to saints, but I'd never done it. There's a big difference between having a rosary hanging off your rearview mirror and actually pulling it down and praying it. And I, for the first time, knelt down beside my bed, and I just called out to Mary, the Mother of God. And I said, please help me. And I know it was her intercession. It was not just her, but the cloud of witnesses, right, that Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 talk about, the 24 elders in Revelation 5, 8, representing the people of God in heaven, receiving our prayers coming up from the earth and interceding for me. It was then that it was like the faith. You talk about that 2x4, this was mine. It was then that the faith moved from my head to my heart. And that changed me forever. I have never doubted the Catholic faith from that moment forward.
And people who have questions about the faith, that were you know, there's that internalization. And Matthew Kelly puts it a really good way. Those people who become hook, line, and sinker sold, right? They don't necessarily, when they have a question about the faith, they don't go, what's wrong with the church? They go, what's wrong with me? And
yes.
and I think that you know, for people listening out there to Tim's story and Tim's experience, ask yourself that question. Ask yourself that question, and you know, what's wrong? You know, not necessarily what's wrong in a bad way. But what don't I know? You know, continue to do the research.
Yeah.
Is there a way that you know, was there any person other than your Marine friend? Was there any other person that accompanied you? And do you recommend that they find somebody to accompany you as a Catholic friend?
Yes, absolutely. For me, it was my pile of books and the memory of Matt and also Father Mitch Pacwa, who debated Dr. Walter Martin, who was kind of, I called him my mentor from afar, a great Protestant apologist, and watching that debate. And then I would later contact Father Pacwa, actually Matt Dula and I. But absolutely, you know, you need to reach out. And I find that to be a very hard thing for a lot of folks to do, to reach out to a Catholic and say, you know what, I'd like to sit down with you. Believe me, I have shepherded, as I use the term, many, many souls into the Catholic faith, sponsored them and such, my wife and I, including ministers, you name it. And it is very, very important that you reach out to someone. But I will tell you this as well. One of the biggest blessings, you talked about benefits, was I remember when I was in the throes of my Catholic studies thinking I'm losing my mind because the Catholic stuff was making sense. The first thing that happened to me, Bill, is I became a better Protestant. When I was challenged by my Catholic friend, it forced me to really, and of course, your first impulse is to turn to what you know. When I got challenged, I turned to what I know. And for the first time in my life, I actually started reading Luther, Calvin, right? I started reading these guys to see what is it that I believe. Wesley, right? And some of the more recent Protestant fathers, if you will, you know, Charles Finney and others. And, of course, the moderns like Walter Martin and R.C. Sproul and such. But it really forced me to begin to read. And here's what I realized. I realized, okay, I'm reading, and of course my Catholic friend challenged me to read men like the fathers of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas and such, and I realized I was in this place where I was saying, wow, Augustine is good here, but he's wrong here. Thomas Aquinas is good here, but he's wrong here. Calvin's good here, he's wrong here. Luther, good here, but wrong. Wesley, good here. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Who in the world am I? Who am I to be saying, this is what's right, oh, no, he's wrong here. Who in the world am I? I realized that Jesus Christ gave us this incredible gift of the church so that when we're in the throes of this struggle, we have the voice of God on this earth, not just a dead letter, which is what the Bible is, without a living interpreter. Of the scriptures, it becomes a dead letter because it cannot interpret itself. We have a living magisterium that separates the wheat from the chaff, that says, yes, Thomas Aquinas is right here and he's wrong here. Augustine's right here, he's wrong here. Calvin's good here, he's bad, he's wrong right. here. Right. That's why Jesus, one of the reasons why Jesus gave us a church in Matthew 18, 15 through 18, he tells us as much. If your brother offends you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he won't hear you, take one or two with you. And if he still won't hear you, tell it to the church. And the one who fails to hear the church is to be as a heathen and a publican, for whatever you, that is the church, binds on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus tells us there is an authority, namely the church, outside of us, to which we must submit, and I'm not it. That was a humbling thing, but in the end, it was freedom, because now I know the truth that is able to set us free.
Tim, that is so great. It's been an amazing pleasure talking to you today on Young Catholics Respond. And I only have about a minute left, so I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to promote what you're working on and what you're doing. So tell us briefly what you're working on and what you're doing, because you've got so many great resources for people out there.
Yes, we do. Once again, check out Catholic.com. We have so much happening. We have conferences now, seminars all across the country that we're doing. I want to promote, you know, Trent Horn, Carlo Broussard, tremendous, our newer apologists at Catholic Answers that are rocking the house. Jimmy Akin, of course, a giant in apologetics. Myself, Tim Staples, and we've got more now. Father Hugh Barber, a world-class scholar. Check us out at Catholic.com. Also, check out TimStaples.com. That's my personal website. We can get more personal there. I have a new thing called the Apostolic Insider. If folks want to have access to me, where you can ask me questions and you get sent immediately to the top of the list, join my Apostolic Insider Club. I've got all kinds of stuff coming out, a new CD set coming out. It's not out yet, but on Seventh-day Adventism, working on a couple of books right now. But we've just got a ton of things going at Catholic Answers. So once again, check us out at Catholic.com. And thanks again, Bill, for having me on.
Absolutely, Tim. It's been just a great pleasure to have you today. And until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.